Hello and welcome to another episode of Retrospection. This time we're calling the RSPCA, not because Paul has mange, again, but because we're getting peacefully with the short-lived series Manimal from 1983. My name's Colin and... Kinky? What kinky? I'm as straight as they come.
You know, there's so many things I could say there, but I'm not going to say anything.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble. And my name's Paul, and you didn't see anything except your partner go down.
Moving on, swiftly, TMDB says Jonathan Chase was a British college professor at New York University who had the unusual ability to transform into any kind of animal. He used his powers to battle crime alongside pretty policewoman Brooke and Vietnam War pal Ty. Which is incorrect, because Ty is not his Vietnam pal, he's his Cambodian pal. Isn't they in Cambodia in the episode? Pretty sure they say Cambodia.
Are they? I thought it was Vietnam.
Oh, maybe I've got it wrong then. Okay. Britain wasn't in Vietnam.
Well, this is a question that I have when I was making my notes. Why is he there?
Right.
Why is he there anyway? Because he's not military anyway, is he?
Oh, don't look for explanations of anything in this, because there are none whatsoever.
All right, okay.
We'll talk about that. This stars Simon McCorkindale as Jonathan Chase, Melody Anderson as Brooke McKenzie, Rennie Santoni as Lieutenant Rivera, Michael D. Roberts as Tyrone C. Earl, and this episode features Lloyd Bochner as Jordan and Ursula Andress as Karen Jade.
Yeah, Ursula Andress. That was a strange one. Where did she pop up from?
The ocean?
From the ocean. Underneath the mango tree. Is that where she's been hiding out, is it?
Yeah, you're not going to sing, are you?
I'm not going to sing. No. So Simon McCorkindale was one of those guys that you used to see a lot on TV, didn't you? He was always in like
guest starring in various episodes.
Yeah. He starred in 1978's Death on the Nile. He had a recurring role in, I think the thing that I remember him from the most is Falcon Crest, because I think my mum used to watch that.
Your mum did, right?
Yeah, it wasn't me. I caught it, you know, in passing. You know?
Yeah.
And
Knots Landing was your favourite.
Oh no! Dallas was my favourite.
You sure it wasn't the Colbys?
We could do
these soap operas all day long, pal.
It might have been the Colbys. You know, don't know why.
I don't know which one. Which was the one where Emma Sams was in? She was in one of them was daytime, and one of them was evening, right?
Yeah.
And in the daytime one, she was abducted by aliens.
That's right.
And then she was released by aliens in the evening one.
That's right.
So she moves from one soap opera to the other.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't remember which ones it was, though.
It was Dynasty and the Colbys, but I don't know which round it was. Which way round
Colbys was the daytime one. Dynasty was the evening one.
Yeah, I think the Colbys was slightly more fantastical than Dynasty, wasn't it?
Well, we've got aliens in it.
That's true, yeah.
I mean... And that's the only thing I know about any of those soap operas.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I wonder why.
I don't know. Wasn't Heather Locklear in one of those as well?
Yes. Yes, she was.
That'll be the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Emma Sams.
Yes. He had a role in Jaws 3D as well. Do you remember that one?
I remember the film. I don't remember his role.
Yeah, he played a character called Philip Fitzroyce.
Nice. Good English name.
I was going to say, what are the chances that he's the eccentric, quirky English guy in it? Pretty solid.
Yeah. Makes a change from you playing that role. Do you know when he moved to America, he couldn't get a job and was told this was because he is not an 8 p.m. actor? Meaning that American audiences at 8 p.m. don't want an English-sounding actor because they have to think about it.
Is that because they all think that we're so intelligent?
Smart. Yeah. This podcast would destroy that belief in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, because we really don't know what we're talking about most of the time. I'd say, most of the time.
Barely know my name.
Yeah, being generous. He was also married to Susan George.
Didn't know that.
And unfortunately passed away in 2010 at 58 years old.
Oh, it's not very old, is it? Didn't he go back to the UK at some point to appear in Casualty?
I think he popped up in Casualty and things like that, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Melody Anderson, we all know her best probably as Dale Arden in 1980s Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She also had roles in, is a great little 1981 horror movie called Dead and Buried. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't think so. She's in that.
Good. That's a nice little horror film. I think Robert Englund's in that as well, one of his sort of breakout roles. Cannonball Fever in 1989. But that's good.
Now, is this a film about cannonballs that have a high temperature?
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, all right. Or is this one of the Cannonball Run type movies?
I think it's one of those, yeah. I think it's one of the later ones, okay. You know.
Right, the one nobody talks about.
The one nobody talks about. The bastard cousin, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh.
That was a bit rude, wasn't
no
it?
No need to bring Barry up again.
He's in the attic. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. I just remember to feed him later, actually. He's not,
you should.
Not his gruel. And she was in tons of TV in the 80s, from things like Murder, She Wrote to Jake and the Fat Man. I think she's even in an episode of TJ Hooker as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this show was created by Glenn A. Larson.
Or his better name.
Glenn A. Larson-y.
That's it. We've dealt with him before, haven't we?
We have indeed. Mm-hmm. And Donald R. Boyle, who was a writer on Simon & Simon, TJ Hooker and V.
So there's decent credentials there, isn't there?
Depending on your opinion of TJ Hooker, yeah.
I suppose. Well, we know ours. Just check out the old episode. You'll hear it.
But the episodes of the show have a narration at the beginning. This pilot one doesn't.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Dr. Jonathan Chase, wealthy, young, handsome, a man with the brightest of futures, a man with the darkest of pasts. From Africa's deepest recesses to the rarest peaks of Tibet, heir to his father's legacy and the world's darkest mysteries, Jonathan Chase, master of the secrets that divide man from animal, animal from man, manimal. Doesn't tell you anything at all. It's completely gibberish. Like most of these like narrations, if you get Knight Rider,
yeah. It
tells you what sets up the show. Street Hawk sets up the show. This tells you nothing.
Street Hawk was the one that was popping into my mind as you were reading it. Yeah, the man, the machine, Street Hawk. What?
Yeah, but at least it says Jesse Mack, an ex-cop, is injured.
I suppose, yeah.
It tells you how he got to be where he is. This doesn't reveal anything.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, we do find out in this pilot, kind of. There's a loose explanation.
We do not. He inherited it from his father.
Yes.
That is not an explanation.
It's a bit like me. I mean, yeah. I inherited baldness from my father, so, you know.
That tells me a lot.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, I think.
Which actually makes me... It was a question I was going to ask later, but I'll do it now. Is there any other pilot we've watched that does not explain the setup to the show?
No, because if you think of things like Battlestar Galactica does it, Buck Rogers did it, the A-Team does it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So it's like the writer sat around and went, so how does he change into animals? I just got it from his dad. Yeah.
And that one guy at the back goes, how did his dad get it? Get out.
Yeah, you're fired.
The fuck is this guy?
Yeah. You're not supposed to bring problems, you're supposed to bring solutions.
I'll get me coat.
Yeah.
I'll go work on Street Hawk, they'll have me there.
Yes.
They ask questions on Street Hawk.
And they answer them too.
They do.
8 episodes this ran for?
I was surprised. I thought it went on for longer than that. Do you think ITV just reran the same episodes over and over again? Because I'm sure it ran for longer in the UK.
Maybe it just felt longer.
Well, that's my question to you. I was going to ask you, did you watch this when it came out?
I have a memory, and you correct me if you think this is wrong, of me disliking it and you liking it.
That sounds right. Although yeah. I don't actually physically remember sitting through physically. A whole episode.
Wait, physically?
Physically, yes.
You don't physically remember?
I don't know if I was physically there, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a memory of watching an entire episode. Right. It's like one of those things where you've always known what it is. But you can't actually pinpoint whether you watched it or not, but I'm sure I did.
Maybe we both never saw it.
Do you think it's one of those false memories that we get?
Yeah.
Could be,
yeah.
Could be. I mean, we did tend to disagree on a lot of things back then.
Yeah. It's because you're usually wrong.
Well, we've come together a bit more since. I don't know if you've noticed that since we've been... I worried that very
yeah.
carefully.
Though. I've worried about it. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. It's a concern.
It is. Yeah, it is. For you.
There was a Manimal annual.
I think I had it. I think so. Which is weird.
Yeah, like...
Why?
You didn't watch the show. Yeah. You can't remember the show, but you had the annual.
I think it might have been a case of, he likes annuals. What we need to get him some annuals for Christmas. Oh, what have we got? Oh, Manimal. He's got someone changing into a puma. He's probably going to like it, isn't he?
Yeah, it kind of rhymes with annual, Manimal. So, you know, it's perfect.
That's probably my parents thinking at the time, yes.
Well, it's pricey now.
Is it? Do you know, weirdly...
There's one on eBay.
As someone that collects all these annuals, I've never looked into rebuying it.
Oh, I can't think why.
Have you seen some of the shit I've got?
That is true. That's a good point, yeah.
How much does it go for, then?
$50, something like that, from my side of things.
That's fairly pricey, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure if it'd turn up in a...
charity shop.
In a charity shop at some point.
Who's hung on to their Manimal annual all these years and then decides to give it away?
Melody Anderson?
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. The animal transitions were apparently shot very, very carefully. And they were put together with animal wranglers, the directors, stunt supervisors and production designers all having to coordinate their efforts together so that no one died. Why would they have the animal there on the set at the same time as all the other stuff's going on?
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't need it,
unless they were shot so fast that they literally just did something.
So they could get everything done in a day or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dangerous, though. Probably. I mean, he's quite close to some of these animals. Or he looks it, anyway.
Is he? Friends with us.
They go for a meal every Friday.
Talks about. Yeah.
This was an interesting one. We got some interest on this from Facebook when I posted this. But apparently the character of Jonathan Chase also appears in an episode of a TV show that Glenn A. Larson made in the 90s called Nightman.
Yes, I heard that. Yeah, I've never seen Nightman, and I have no idea how this episode fits into it. So
it's so strange. So to put it into perspective, Manimal ran for 8 episodes and was cancelled. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nightman ran for 2 seasons from 97 to 88. And get this. So this is what Nightman was about, okay?
Okay. All right.
It features a jazz musician who gets powers after being struck by lightning and then is telepathically tuned into the frequency of evil.
I did evil as a frequency?
Apparently so, yes.
Well, what is it? 98.5 FM?
Rock FM, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. it sounds like something. I saw a picture of what Nightman looks like as well. It's got to be something we've got to cover at some point.
Never even heard of it until I read about this.
That's what could make it interesting.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he turns up in that. What a strange thing to do, though, to bring back a character 10 years later in a show that no one cares about.
Maybe Glenn was like, this show was just misunderstood. I need to bring it back.
Possibly.
People weren't ready for it.
Well, French people were, because they loved it, apparently.
They love Manimal?
Yeah, apparently it was so well received in France that there was a production company that briefly considered bringing the show back with the original cast.
What was it called in France?
Manimal.
That really?
I don't know. Probably.
Le Manimal.
Le Manimal, yes. The director that you mentioned that made this pilot, he directed everything from The Equalizer to Miami Vice to episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. So he's well used.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the last thing I was going to say is that the transformations into the Panther and the Hawk in this episode, not to spoil anything, were created by Stan Winston.
Yeah, they were, but they feel like Stan Winston on a very, very strict budget.
Yeah, and did you notice, I was going to mention this when we get into it, but did you notice that they're all shot in front of a generic blue screen background so that they can project whatever they want onto it so they can reuse the same shots for every episode?
Which makes me think he only ever changes into a panther or an eagle for the whole series.
That's interesting. I wonder whether there was any other animals.
I bet it was limited.
Actually, he does change into another animal in this, besides the panther. He changes into a cat.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
He does, but you don't see it.
You don't see
There's
it.
There's no transformation sequence in that.
No. Kind of a funny moment when he does.
It does, but especially a certain scene, certain shot that they do. But we'll get to it. But I don't count it a transformation if we don't actually see him transform into it. Because you could just throw any animal in and go, da-da!
I so hope that if he changes into a snake and they have a transformation where he squishes himself together and turns into a tube or something.
Into a tube?
They're tube-like, aren't they, snakes?
Yeah, they are tube-like, yes.
What? Well, they are, aren't
they? Nothing.
They're a big, long tube.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Doolittle.
I talk to the animals, but they just don't talk back to me. Or is it the other way around? Listen. I don't know. They talk to me, but I don't talk back to them.
They're not talking to you. No.
Say to me. No.
No.
Shall we get into it then?
Yeah, okay. Let's get on with the show. So, it's a fairly lackluster opening credits sequence, isn't it?
Well, it starts with, before we get to the opening credits sequence, it does start with one of those Tonight on Manimal. This is the shit you're going to have to watch bits, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. But that's part of the opening credits, right? They've kind of,
But
I assume that's because this is the pilot.
Yeah. I get.
Because the pilot of any show is usually different from the actual episodes. They don't have the same structure of the opening credits and stuff.
Well, they're designed to sell the show to prospective TV execs, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, great job with this.
Well, they got commissioned briefly, you know. Well,
that's true.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. The opening credits, they as well as looking a little bit naff, they scream 1980s as well, don't they?
They do, and the music isn't very remarkable.
No, I was going to talk about the music later, but it is kind of... I'll tell you what it reminded me of. I didn't like this kind of music when they started to use it in sort of 80s Doctor Who in the UK as well, where it's all cheap synthesizer-type stuff.
Hmm.
You know? Doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah. Mm. Considering of all the shows we watch from the 80s that all have these like theme tunes that you go, aha, if someone played this, you'd be like, I have no idea what that show is.
Do you think that they're going for like a, because it's a fantastical idea, they're going for kind of a sci-fi kind of sound, so that they it's a conscious thing that they went for, and it just doesn't quite work.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get, like, shots of guys are dealing in guns, right?
Yeah, they're terrorists buying arms from a generic 80s villain man, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. And we introduce to Jonathan Chase, and he's following them in a taxi.
He is, yes.
What's going on in this taxi? Can he not control when he changes?
I think he's... No, I just think he's starting to change, isn't he? He wants to change.
In the taxi? Yeah. And he wants to change, but why is it so painful and he seems very reluctant about it? And why is he changing in the taxi?
Yeah, I mean, if I was an Uber driver and my passenger started breathing that heavy in the back of my cab, I'm pulling over.
To have a look?
To have a look. To join in.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so he changes to a Panther in the back of the taxi as they're following these gun dealers to a warehouse. It seems a little early to be changing into a Panther. And then the driver is unaware that he's changing into a Panther, but makes jokes about, oh, you've got some asthma situation going on there, mate. And then when he looks back, he's gone. How did the Panther get out the taxi?
Yeah, you'd think you'd notice a dirty great Panther sitting in your back seat, wouldn't you?
I don't think it's dirty. It looks quite clean.
Very good.
Are you talking about the morals of the Panther? Could be. Mm-hmm. Don't know. Well, didn't ask. You know. Yeah, you would. Like, he can't open the door. He's a Panther now.
Yeah, I got the... Was the window open? Did he jump out the window?
And I just wait till the taxi stopped. Then change.
In an alleyway where no one can see you.
Yeah, better than the back of a taxi, right?
This whole shape-shifting thing.
Do you think he does this all the time just to get out of paying for a taxi?
I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You turn into a spider and bugger off.
See, this is it, right? You mentioned spider. Okay, so he's a shapeshifter, mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah. Apparently.
It's not a fast process, and...
Nope.
This is...
Painful,
yeah,
too.
This is what I was wondering. He can change into animals... Any animals, mm-hmm. Okay?
So we're led to believe.
Some that are half his size or even less than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do the excess bits of his body go?
Okay, that's your problem. I mean, you haven't mentioned clothes.
I was going to get to that. I was going to get to that when they reappear every time.
Because they always reappear every time.
Yes.
How? I mean, we actually see him ripping at one point.
Does he carry around... Does he hide suitcases all over the city with clothes in?
Everywhere. Maybe that's Tyrone's job, his assistant.
It's like the Shadow. You know, he's got a network of people that just leave mm-hmm. clothes around for him. But they've got to be the exact clothes he was wearing before he changed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So he'd have to have multiple clothes in the same location.
He does tend to live in tuxedos, so...
Maybe just tuxedos everywhere?
Maybe that's why he does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's why he always wears a tuxedo.
But what about the excess bits of skin? Does it all get sucked in? But then, you know, how does it... Is there bits of him laying in the back of that taxi?
What happened to yours when you lost weight?
Well, that's not quite the same thing, is it?
No, you're right, it's not. I don't know. It's a good point. I mean, a good point, as in, why are we talking about this? Because there's no answer. Because it's nonsense.
It is interesting, as you said, though, that we do open with Manimal doing his thing right from the get-go, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's no explanation, he just changes. And it's also interesting, like, why do we keep seeing... We see his hands change mm-hmm. all the time, but... Why do we see his hands change? Like, at some point, like when he's a bird, wouldn't his feet change into claws? Wouldn't his hands change into wings? I mean...
Well, he always holds his hand up and looks at it changing, doesn't he?
Yeah. Why does he do that? As if he's shocked. Oh, my God, what's happening? The same thing that happened last yesterday or the day before.
The exact same thing as well.
You're transmuting into an animal.
You know what it is.
Why is this
I think what it is that... They're obviously riffing on the transformation sequence from American Werewolf in London, aren't they? Through.
Yeah, but that was a shock to the character.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the way it's shot in American Werewolf in London, he does the same thing. He holds his hand up and he's staring at it as it's changing. So they're riffing on that.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
They are, but it's a shock in American Werewolf in London. Yeah. It's not a shock.
Yeah, but you don't know how long he's been doing this for years, behavior. Though, hasn't he?
Yeah, so it's not a shock. So why go looking at his hand? He should just be going, here we go. La la la, changing.
If you're right and it is something that happens and he has no control of it, that's going to cause problems in your life, isn't it?
Well, it does, doesn't it? Because at one point he's getting into a car and he starts to transform and he's like, oh, we'll do this tomorrow kind of thing. So I can't work out whether he has control over it or not because the story seems to be confused about this.
Yeah.
Fact. Also, when he's changing, we get shots of a full moon. Is it always a full moon when he's changing? Or what? Does it become a full moon because he's changing, or can he only change on a full moon?
Yeah, again, they're riffing on the whole Wolfman thing as well, aren't they? So they've got all these different ideas.
But he's not a Wolfman.
That's what I'm saying. They've got all these different ideas from different movies, and they're just smashing it all together. But they don't quite understand how it's all working either. The writers, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, because when he looks at the moon, he looks at it with an expression of, oh, God, here we go again, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's choosing to change.
Exactly. So they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah.
No. Anyway, they arrive at a warehouse.
They do.
And weapons are being shipped. And he's changed into a panther. And he starts knocking over boxes. What is he doing at this point? What's his plan?
When he's an animal, then, he retains his human intelligence. Is that right?
I assume so, because he does things to help people out later on.
Cut to him and he's sat there licking his own ass.
just someone's like got a laser pointer and he's chasing it. Well, this is good. What's this guy doing? He's not going to solve any crimes. Look at him, throwing a ball at the wall. Changes into a dog and starts humping one of the criminal's legs.
I promised, I said I wasn't going to do that joke. You've done it. Yeah, so I don't know what he's doing. He's wandering around knocking crates over.
I don't know what his game plan is.
Is he trying to distract people? I don't quite understand it.
So we cut to Mackenzie, mm-hmm. It's Melody Anderson and her partner, and they're uniformed police officers, mm-hmm. and they're driving their cop car, and they start to see a truck that says like sewing machines, and they're wondering like, oh, what's it doing out at this late at night? Are you convinced of Melody Anderson as a cop?
I'm more convinced by her as a detective later, which she suddenly seems to become.
Oh, well, I've got questions about this.
But as a uniformed officer, not so much.
No.
And her partner's literally, you might as well have dead meat stamped on his forehead, doesn't he? You know.
Yeah.
Soon as Simon McCorkindale turns up, no need for this guy anymore. He's out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So they start chasing
the
truck.
They do, but we should mention that Manuel's jumped in the back of the truck, hasn't he? As a panther.
We didn't mention. Yeah, as a panther. Yeah, and then the truck crashes.
Yeah, it's a good stunt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And then Brooke chases after one of the criminals on her own.
They split up.
Leaving a partner to deal with another one on his own.
And he gets oozed, doesn't he?
He gets oozed, mm-hmm. yes.
And so does Manimal.
He does, but he's all right. He's just slightly wounded.
Yeah, by the Uzi. Just slightly wounded by the Uzi, yes.
Yeah, he's Uzi-proof.
Mm-hmm.
So Brooke's chasing a criminal.
She is.
But he kind of gets away, and she runs into an alleyway.
She sees the panther.
Oh, wait,
she sees
the panther, right?
She follows the panther back into the alleyway, and it's Manimal, and he's changed back into a human in his full evening wear again.
Yes.
But bear in mind, he's been shot as well.
Yes, so he's shot, so he's bleeding somewhere.
Yeah, she follows the blood trail, doesn't she? On the floor.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yeah, we'll get
it. Did we watch this?
Did we? I've watched this twice, believe it or not. Hard to comprehend.
Yeah,
isn't
it is. Who'd have thought it, eh? They have a little bit of a chat, don't they, in the alleyway, and then we cut back to it's later and it's back at the station.
Well, I should point out she's confused because the alleyway is a dead end. There's no way out.
Where did the panther go?
And he suddenly appeared. Where did he come from?
She figures out what's going on quite quickly, doesn't she?
Well, there's no logic to her. Assuming
she just gets it, doesn't she?
What he is. Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's later at the back at the police station, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she's a plainclothes detective?
See, I don't think the writers understand how police officers operate, because I don't understand any of the people in this police station and what their jobs are.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. How they don't really research. They didn't research how, you know, how doctors and hospitals work. So they go, I'm going to give you some of this really important medicine, and that's going to make you feel better. You know, it's kind of like that, isn't
right,
it?
Right. Yeah, I thought she'd been to the T.J. Hooker School of Police Work.
where you can go
plain clothes if you feel like it and investigate crimes.
It depends on how tubby you are that week, doesn't it? Whether you can fit into that uniform.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Not Melody Anson, obviously. We're talking about someone else.
No.
Someone else.
We're talking about Hooker, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so she's plain clothes. Mm-hmm. And her boss is the typical sort of hard-nosed police superior officer that... we get in all these shows, but she gives him as good as she gets, doesn't she? She's strong. She's written strong.
Yeah.
She's not a pushover. She goes to see a consultant.
Well, he recommends the consultant because she says she saw a panther, and he's like, oh, it just so happens we have this consultant, mm-hmm. right? And he works with the police on anything related to animals and police work.
Because she said that she saw a panther. At this crime scene.
Is that a thing? Do they have...
I don't know.
She goes... can you imagine if she's like, oh, I run into this alleyway and I saw a clown. Oh, well, we've got a consultant who deals with clowns related to police work.
There's a consultant for everything, Colin. There really is.
I guess so. He's called Bozo. He arrives in a very small car. Five of them will get out of it. Don't be perturbed by this.
The doors fall off. And he's always honking.
Yeah. If he reaches out, don't. It's not a Me Too moment. Yeah. That's just what he does.
It's really strange as well that they've been involved in this arms deal thing, and there's been, you know, an officer's been killed.
Yes.
But
yes.
She's fixating on this panther that she saw running around.
Yeah, yeah. And her boss at no point goes, you know what you should be focusing on? The Uzis?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, you know, you do know we have an ASPCA in New York, and they do animal control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, ASPCA over here, they carry guns. So they're okay to deal with a panther.
Everyone carries guns over there, don't they?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Isn't that how it
I'm
works?
Wearing one right now.
Yeah. Double barrel.
Oh, no, it's just the way I'm sitting.
Yeah. Boom. Boom.
It does.
Yeah. but it turns out that this consultant that she goes to see is Manimal.
Wait, is that his name now? We're calling him Manimal.
That's what I'm calling
Mr. Manimal.
Occasionally I might refer to him as Chase, but I did write Manimal most of the time in my notes.
Yeah. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
I know. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it?
I mean, I suppose there can't be many consultants who deal with animals in police work, I suppose.
I suppose.
Except for the whole canine unit.
Yeah.
But at first he tries to deny that it was him who she spoke to. The tuxedoed upper class Englishman.
What?
Good luck with trying to talk your way out of that one. Oh no, it wasn't me. It was some other English tuxedo bloke.
He might as well have been wearing the tuxedo in the classroom where she goes to see him. I mean, but she does try and question him, and he just blows her off, doesn't he?
He tries to. Yeah.
But she does notice that he's wounded, because he doesn't. She kind of touches his arm, and he goes, "Ooh."
Yeah, doesn't hide it.
But he reacts like he's pulled a muscle. I mean, he's been shot by an Uzi, and he goes, "Ooh."
All right, so if it was you and she touched you, you'd be like, ah, ooh, on the floor. Going, ah.
No, I'll tell you what I wouldn't be doing if I'd just been shot by an Uzi the next day. Giving a lecture.
You'd be at work.
You'd be at work.
Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't, would you? You'd be like, hello, I can't come in today because I've been, I can't say shot. I got flu. In the shoulder.
That's at least a 2 week sick note there, isn't it? You've been shot. I mean,
that is.
So then we meet Manimal's sidekick stroke partner, Ty.
Yes, Ty, mm-hmm. Tyrone.
And they go to a club.
Can we just discuss Tyrone?
Okay, go on.
Is it just me, or is he the best character in this episode? Yeah, but he gets the best lines.
He gets the best lines.
He seems more relaxed. Yeah. He's fun.
Yeah, he is the best character. Yeah. Which is a problem in your show called Manimal.
Yeah. Should have just been called Tyrone. And his animal changing assistant.
Tyrone and his animal changing assistant.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
I'd have watched that. That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so this they go to this club and it's did you hear the very good facsimile of Michael Jackson's Beat It playing in the nightclub?
Oh, so it wasn't Michael Jackson.
It wasn't. It was very close, but it wasn't Michael Jackson.
was it wasn't good. Was it bad?
I'm desperately trying to think of another Michael Jackson song, and I can't think of
it. I know, but neither of us know that many. It's a good job we don't get paid for this, isn't it?
I didn't get any thrillers out of it. No?
That I was going to go, but I was too big for that. I felt better.
All right. That's, okay. It does look like a happening place, this nightclub. It feels a bit 1970s, though, doesn't it? Lots of tinsel and glitter balls everywhere. It's like the set designers go, so what do nightclubs look like now in 1987 or whenever this was? And they go, oh, I don't know. We've got that shit lying around from Starsky and Hutch that was from about 10 years ago. Just shove that out. That'll do, won't it?
It's the same writer who doesn't know how police stations
exactly.
work.
Exactly. This is how nightclubs work.
Yeah. There's just some music and people gyrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Chase is in there, but also Brooks has followed them to the nightclub.
That's right.
And she goes in it, and she sees Drew. Now, Drew is one of the criminals that she was chasing earlier on, right? And she recognises him, so she's just going to arrest him.
Yeah, and they bring him in, don't they?
They do, although Chase is like, maybe you shouldn't because you don't really have enough evidence.
Which they don't.
But, you know, her being the police officer doesn't seem to know this.
But she has a plan, doesn't she? She's going to sucker the bad guys in.
She does, yeah. Yeah.
What's the plan, Colin? Go on.
I have no idea.
No, neither did I.
I mean...
No.
No.
Does it matter?
I can't really follow any of the logic of this story or the police work that's involved.
No.
Especially later.
No. Oh, no. I think they just lose track of what they're trying to do, and then they just kind of like it's almost like they're making it up as they go along. I felt.
Yeah. Because we don't know anything about that.
Exactly. I mean, I was surprised there wasn't a helicopter. It needed a helicopter appearing from nowhere, Colin. And then this is this is a long running gag that we have in the show that no one gets other than us. I don't think we've ever explained it, and I'm not going to do it now. So.
No, don't.
I will say. At this point, the chemistry between Melody Anderson and Simon McCorkindale is pretty thin, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I was worried for a moment that you were going to say it was good.
I could see the horror on your face.
Serious conversation.
No, it's pretty bad, isn't it? There's nothing there, really.
Yeah.
Is there?
No.
But he wants to help her, but she's resistant, and he's persistent and charming. I suppose.
Is he?
I think that's what he's supposed to feel that he is. That he's meant to be charming, isn't he?
Okay.
But, you know. You're thinking about it, really. This police officer consultant thing, it's still a trope that gets used today in things like Elementary and Lucifer. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah. In fact... I would say that Manimal is exactly the same show as Lucifer, but they've just changed what his ability is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
So all we need to do to come up with a show, Paul, is to have a character who's a police consultant and just give him some kind of ability that's a bit novel, and we could come up with a show.
Seems to be easy.
All right. Well, I think we should do this. and we should act it out. Future podcast.
If it was easy, though, Manimal would have been a hit. Mm-hmm.
Now, all right, we'll talk about this in the summary, right. I think.
Okay.
Why was Manimal not a hit? When it does everything that all these other shows also do.
I have a theory as to that, as to why it wasn't a hit as well.
Okay, I look forward to hearing it.
Don't you find it's really interesting how we always seem to line up with, we always seem to go down the same path. So have you noticed that in the 125 episodes, Colin?
Same path of what?
You know, that we both have the same, similar kind of thoughts about things.
No.
No?
No. Yeah? In fact, I'm starting to get a bit upset about it.
That's twice now you've been upset.
I know, I'm getting very upset.
Very upset, yeah. All right, I'll let it go.
We're going to have to do some shows that you like and I hate more. Or the other way around.
Okay. Where to start?
What if I just unleashed? What show are you thinking of?
Where to start, Colin? Oh,
if you mention bugs, I'm walking.
That's fake news. I'm not having it. So there's, I'm just looking over there at the shelves. Obviously, there's Highlander.
Oh, no, no, because, no, that doesn't work. And I can't tell you why.
Oh, you can't tell? I think I know, but I'm not going to say. Okay. We've already done one of them. We've done Beauty and the Beast.
That's true, mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
I'll figure something out.
All right.
Yeah, don't all worry.
Right. We're at the police station. They can't hold Drew, but they're going to for a mm-hmm. while. And then Brooks makes a big show of saying that she's going to search the warehouses, thus alerting Drew, so he'll make a phone call. And he appears to have the run of the police station.
Yeah, they just let him wander around, do what
make
he likes.
Make a call. Yeah, yeah. He's sat on the table. He doesn't care.
He's typing reports. He's doing it all. You know.
He is, yeah. Filing, arresting people, making sandwiches. So Drew will make a call and then alert the people that she's going to go to the mm-hmm, warehouse. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to survey the warehouse, sit outside yeah. and wait to see people
that's
turn
right.
up and yeah. move stuff. You can understand I'm struggling to understand what the logic is.
Oh, yeah, that. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, we can't understand it okay. as viewers. No.
No. No.
We get another transformation scene into a panther again. It's the same shots that we saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I mean, works for Knight Rider.
That is true. That is true. That last season.
But let me say that. Let me just say that again. It works for
that
Knight
is very
Rider.
True. Yes. So then things get a bit explosive at the warehouse, don't they? In a kind of stock foot.
Got diarrhea.
Is that a euphemism? Things are explosive in the warehouse.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm always explosive at the warehouse.
But it's kind of a stock footage kind of way, though, isn't it? I don't think there's actual real explosions.
Yeah.
I don't think they filmed any explosions. I think it's all stock footage.
Okay. So they go mm-hmm. to the warehouse because they followed the sewing machine truck because they saw one mm-hmm. the night before. And she wants to get a closer look.
Yeah.
So she goes into the warehouse. Mm-hmm. Chase changes into a panther and we get that hand up full
that's
moon
right. yeah.
shot. The criminals see Brooks. And then the panther runs around knocking crates over and knocks a crate over that's got a hand grenade. She chucks a hand grenade. I'll point out she doesn't pull the pin mm-hmm. out of the hand grenade. Totally destroying a warehouse, creating a massive uncontrollable fire, destroying any evidence, and
it's never mentioned again.
Well, I assume were people killed?
Oh, you there had to be, hadn't there? Had to be deaths. Yeah.
Yeah, there had to be a night watchman yeah. or somebody. And it's not just the warehouse, there's other warehouses yeah. as well. And yes, it is never mentioned again. She's never, like, brought up on charges. No one's ever like, oh, how did that? Because no one's ever, how did that warehouse get on fire? Because I should point out that they just run away.
That's right, they do. Well, they get knocked out, don't they? And then he changes back into a human. They come to. Mm-hmm. and gets his clothes back. Yes. And then they make their escape and run away. Yeah.
Right. And she doesn't report that she caused the fight.
No, of course not. No. No. It's that fictitious 80s cop thing where they don't have to fill out reports. They don't have to do anything.
But this is extreme.
Oh, it's very extreme.
Even TJ Hooker wouldn't have done this. This is really at this point, she's caused more damage than the criminals have.
She's a maverick. You know, TJ Hooker can only aspire to be off the chain the way that she is.
Yeah, if she started slagging off journalists.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
She'd be like Hooker's pinup.
Talking about how the past is the best place to live and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, while drinking and then climbing into your car.
Yeah, exactly. But she's actually knocked out when they escape, isn't she? Because he carries her out, I think. Because then she...
Well, no, he leaps through a window, smashing it, and then she jumps through him. And I got to admit, whoever that stunt person is, they bashed off some boxes.
They really did. They really did.
Yeah. So she's knocked out, and then he changes because he's laying
that's
on
right.
her. And then they wake up.
And he comes to and he tells her that he must have been taking a cat nap.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Ah, funny. Funny. We like
it. It's humour.
Yeah. It is.
It's better than ours.
Speak for yourself, cheeky boy.
Oh, cheeky boy. Charles Autry.
Catchphrase.
I'm Charles Autry. I'm doing the podcast with him now. Oh.
Cheeky boy. Ooh, look at you.
Oh, I don't like that. So later Manimal, then he changes into the eagle, doesn't he? And he starts staking out some bad guys.
Yeah, he follows him. He follows Jordan, who's the crime boss, because Drew is released and he meets up
that's
with
right.
Jordan and they're following him. And Brooke is also following them.
You would be tempted as Manimal just to take a massive shit on the hood of their car, wouldn't you? Right on the windshield as you fly over it. I mean, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
You're that kind of person,
yeah.
though.
You would do, wouldn't you? Yeah,
you would.
Oh, come on. You're an eagle flying over. You could just write on it.
You could, yeah.
I'd be all over that. Actually, it would be all over them.
Yeah. Jordan goes to a park to meet with Jade Green.
Played by
Ursula mm-hmm. Andress.
I wonder how much they paid her to do this, because it couldn't have been a lot, could it?
You wouldn't have thought so. So she meets up with Jordan, and we learn of the plan that they've come up with, which is that she needs 8 men to capture some nerve gas.
Gotta be 8.
That is mm-hmm. being transferred. Yeah, can't be 9, can't be 7. So this nerve gas is being transferred by the US mm-hmm. Army from one place to another.
And she's doing this deal with the dodgy, generic 80s bad guy that we saw at the beginning of the episode. Yeah.
Yes. Watching this, Brooks takes a camera from an old guy and his mm-hmm. grandson. We hope he's his grandson, who are bird watching.
That's right. There's a chase.
Yes, because, Chase is the eagle.
Very good. Chase. Yeah. I can see your mind ticking over then, Colin.
Because he's still watching. Mm-hmm. And Jade Green realizes that Brooks is photographing them. And so she orders Jordan to go get mm-hmm. the camera. And he grabs it from her and runs. And then the eagle attacks him and grabs the camera, drops it, and then follows Jade to her apartment.
Where she does that weird thing in TV shows and movies where she walks back into her apartment and instantly strips off to have a shower.
Don't you do that?
Not. Every time I walk,
I've seen you do that. Like your son and your wife are sat there in the living room, and you just walk in, throw your clothes off, walk through. Go
you've
upstairs,
seen me do. Where were you?
Into the shower. Yeah, I was sat there too. I was a bit amazed, but your family just took it as normal.
But they do it in these movies and TV shows, regardless of whether it's day or night. They do. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
I wondered if it's you've got Ursula Andress in it. She's providing a little bit of glamour. You're gonna have a scene with her taking a shower, aren't you?
Well, no. What it is that because what happens is Jonathan Chase enters mm-hmm. her apartment. How would he enter her apartment if she's in it? She has to be somewhere for him to get into it. And the only logical explanation is that she's in the shower. That's the only room you can be in that takes up time to allow you to get into an apartment.
She could be taking a dump.
Oh, right. So you want... Hold on. So you want the seed. He's at the door. He sneaks in. And all he could hear is...
Ursula Andress taking a dump.
And we cut to Ursula Andress sat on the toilet taking a dump. Because the ages. You think that would be a good idea? I don't think that would work on television. So the only other option is to take a shower. So when you get in, the first thing you do is you throw off your clothes and go straight to the bathroom and take a dump.
I don't throw my clothes off, but, you know.
That's what you do, though.
Well, you know.
Your wife is like, hi, how was your day? And you're like, can't talk, got to take a dump.
You know, if only you know that.
Push your son out the way.
Happens a lot more than you would realise, Colin. Really.
Oh, okay. All right. It's an insight to your life.
It is too much, some would say. Yes. But Ursula is involved in lots of shady deals and things.
Legs.
Elbows.
All sorts of deals.
So Manimal, as you said, he gets into her apartment and he turns into a cat so that he can overhear a phone call that she's making.
Well, he makes a noise because he's in a closet and she hears it, goes to look, and then he turns into a cat before she can see him.
Very quickly.
Yes, we don't see it.
No.
No?
And he's purring at one point.
Cats do. You've got a cat. You know this.
But he's not a real cat, is he? He's a man inside the body of a cat.
Yeah, but she'd expect a cat to purr.
Oh, so you're saying he's not purring because he's getting enjoyment from her stroking him?
No, he's purring to make her believe that she's a,
is
he's
he?
A cat.
Is he? Is that why he's doing it? So
yes, yeah.
So if you so you've changed into a cat, Ursula Andress.
Okay. Let me hold on a second. Let me just get into the role.
Yeah. You've changed into a cat.
I'm a cat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ursula Andress picks you up. That's.
Oh, yeah, you do, it just happens.
She's tickling your little belly. Yeah. All right. So you can't hold it in, basically.
No.
All right. No.
Well, when she's on the phone and he's listening and she's talking to a colonel who's telling her about the route that this nerve gas transfer is going to take place, we have a shot and the cat sticks his head down her top. Now, do you think, I don't think this was planned.
No.
Because unless the cat is really good at taking direction. Yes. But I reckon they saw that and they went, ho, 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 ho. Keep it that.
Because it's naughty. But at the end of the day, this is just a cat.
I thought you was going to say it's naughty. But nice.
It's nice, yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think that's what they did.
Oh, definitely.
We can get away with that because it's a
definitely.
Cat. But people watching will know.
Do you think as well that there's a little bit of a nod and a wink to a kind of a Bond thing going on as well with Ursula Andress stroking a cat?
Especially because of the type of cat.
Yeah.
Yes. I did think that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Brooks at the police station is trying to convince her colleagues that the eagle she photographed was watching the criminals.
Because at this point, I think she's kind of thinking that Chase can change into animals.
What evidence does she have for this? Also, who turns up at a police station and goes, you know what? I think this bird is watching. Because it helps. It dropped the camera. And how does she have pictures of the eagle?
Yeah. How does she have pictures of the eagle?
No, she won't take pictures of the eagle.
And it can't be from that camera.
No, because the eagle wasn't taking pictures
of himself.
Yeah. Woohoo. Selfies. It's all smiling.
But, you know, you've got to say that this is the kind of go getting, you know, straight to the point of the matter that got her fast track from being a uniformed police officer to be a detective overnight, really. know.
Yes, that's true. And then a colleague comes in and says, oh, these samples have come back from the lab, but they're both human. And she's like, but one of them's a panther. Oh, no, they're both human. When did she collect these samples? And did I miss the scene where she collected samples and sent them to the lab?
I remember a scene, the blood, but I don't remember her collecting any samples.
Okay.
It happened off screen, I think.
Oh, it happened off screen.
Yeah.
All right, like most of the plot.
So when he's an animal, when he's in animal form, he still has human blood?
Apparently.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. And he seems to be coping with his gunshot wound very well at this point.
I'd completely forgotten about the gunshot wound. So almost the same as him.
Occasionally, as I get, he goes, ooh, like that, and that's it.
Oh, right, okay.
And then we get, there's an amusing, quote, amusing scene of Manimal pretending to be a waiter so that he can overhear the bad guy's conversation. And he kind of fat shames some old woman in the process of it, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, because he's just not paying attention, is piling on the whatever those cherries are. Or...
yeah, he's just dropping loads of cherries onto her plate, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And then he looks at her and goes, oh, I thought you'd like double helpings, looking at you.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Rude?
Just a bit, yeah. So they come up with this plan. Chase wants to get Drew, who is the criminal, mm-hmm. to open up. And he's going to get his assistant, Tyrone, to deliver a snake to Drew, that's right. to scare him into talking. Mm-hmm.
And you're meant to think that this snake is actually Manimal, aren't you?
You are, and yeah. Brooks is as well. Mm-hmm. So Tyrone gets into Drew's place. Drew's girlfriend sees a snake and faints, which is convenient, because then he doesn't have to deal with her. That's her out of the script.
Girlfriend? Oh, I suppose she is a girlfriend.
That's how she's credited.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got a different vibe from it, but all right.
Yeah, because she doesn't seem to know, and she's like, I don't want anything kinky. Yeah.
I think she's his girlfriend for the night, let's say.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Like that glove you have.
The glove and me have been together for a long time, Colin. Don't you worry about that.
Really? Yeah. Five fingers, Fred.
That's the one. Yes. Frida. Okay. Frida.
Frida, sorry.
Only Fred on Thursdays.
Yeah. Oh, the other days. Yeah. That's confusing. Why is it a random day of the week?
You know, Thursdays are confusing sometimes.
Well, what happens if you're halfway through and then you realise it's the Thursday and you've been calling Fred for most of the time?
It gets uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. The snake, well, Ty and the snake, who we are supposed to think is Manimal, question the bad guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then Mackenzie stumbles into the room, doesn't she, with a gun drawn? And she starts, she's convinced that this snake is Chase, is Manimal.
Right.
And she just grabs it, doesn't she?
Yeah, because even if you thought for some wacky reason that it was a guy transformed into an animal, would you still grab
it? Not on your life.
No. My life? What about your own?
Anyone's life.
You cheeky boy.
It's not just a snake. It's like a cobra, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
And she just grabs it. But it turns out it is just a snake because he walks out into the room.
Yes. Yeah.
And she faints.
Because she realizes she grabbed a real snake.
That's right.
Which is apparently more frightening than a man who can change into a snake.
No, she's not frightened of that, is she?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be more frightened of a man who could change into a snake than just a snake?
That's right. You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's weirder.
Well, she's accepted it.
Yeah. Mm. With no evidence whatsoever.
No, yeah. But she's that good.
All right.
The detective.
Yeah. All right.
So he takes her back to his place.
Mm-hmm. We should point out that Drew has revealed everything about Operation Red Dog, which is a military convoy disguised as civilians, and that they're going to use tranquilizer gas on the guards and steal the nerve agent, and that Drew did kill her partner.
That's right.
So all that's been revealed.
Yeah, and she only just mentions that in this scene that her partner's dead. Because the last time we heard, he was just in hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because she says when she's talking with Chase, she says he's almost dead. He's dead now.
He died off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
In the last 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it back to the plot, because I couldn't remember what was going on.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I had to watch it twice.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? Seriously? Yeah.
I hope people appreciate what I go through.
I know. I do. So he's took her back to his place and he's undressed her and he's put her in a robe and put her in bed. And he tells her that he had to undress her because wearing clothes whilst unconscious is dangerous.
That's what you tell him, right?
You beat me to it there, Colin. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tells her it's okay, he's a doctor.
That's what you say.
And then she says that I must have looked like an idiot running in there and just grabbing that thing, referring to the snake. I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? You know.
Run in and grab the snake?
Oh, yeah.
Or something that you assumed was a snake?
Yeah, and it turns out to be something completely different. Hissing at you.
Like what?
So then he attempts to drug her into sleep, doesn't he?
Does he
gives her some drug, doesn't he? He says, oh, this will help you sleep.
Oh,
but she palms
okay.
it. She pretends to take it, but she palms it.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
So he's took her back to his place. He's undressed her, put her in bed, and then he tries to drug her.
Did you get flashbacks?
What, to me being in her situation? Yes, Colin.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Is that cousin again, Barry? He's a bugger. That was his name, Bugger Barry. I'll let you deal with that one.
That's what you said the last time.
Yeah. That's what Barry said.
So then she goes to explore his rooms and she accidentally releases a panther that he keeps in a big enclosed area in his house.
Why does he keep animals? I know he's an animal expert. Mm-hmm. But I don't think animal experts keep wild animals in their house.
No, and this...
And if he can change into animals, why does he need to have one?
Maybe he has to stay in touch with the actual beasts to be able to keep changing into them.
This sounds like an explanation in a court of law. I'm sorry, but I have to have these so that I can keep in touch with them.
There's so many dark places I could take that, and I'm not going to...
No, I wouldn't.
The panther itself does look... It is the same panther that he turns into, right?
Oh, this seems so, yeah. Not going
to
get too...
So maybe he has to stay linked to it to be able to change into it.
So does he have to have every single animal that he can change into?
Yeah, so he's got a cat. He's obviously got a cat. We've seen a cat. We've seen the eagle and a panther.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can turn into a snake because he's got a snake.
Yeah. Okay. But he can only change into animals that he has in his house?
Yeah, so because he's maybe cyclically, and that was really hard to say, linked to these animals.
We should point out that you're just making this up. None of this is in the actual episode.
None of this is in the show, no.
No, so we don't know why he keeps these animals, really.
Maybe if it had gone on longer than 8 episodes, maybe we would have found out. Probably not.
Well, our loss.
Someone's lost. and she also reads his journal, which outlines all his mammal secrets, but doesn't.
No, it doesn't, because all it demonstrates is that he was in Cambodia with Tyrone in 1972 and they were held prisoner and he turned into a panther to escape and he had this animal transmutation ability from his father. But that's it.
That's right. Yeah. Because we get a flashback sequence, don't we?
We do, but there's no, that's not an explanation.
All I can hope for is that maybe we would have got more of it as the show went along, because they hadn't thought it through at this point.
You kind of wished that was something you'd think through at the very beginning.
In a pilot, yeah. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You would.
But Chase does change into a panther, and you've got to say Ty takes it very well, considering he's tied up to him.
I mean, what are your choices at this point?
I suppose.
I mean,
it's very comic booky, isn't it? The way that everyone speaks to each other and acts, reacts to each other.
Mm. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Chase finds her reading the journals and tries to explain it as being not his journals, but his father's work of fiction.
He does, yes. But then he seems to be able to tell the panther to telepathically go back into its enclosure. So he's on the one hand, he's just told her it's a work of fiction and it's all, and he's trying to deny it and it's all crap. But then he kind of makes this panther just go back without actually doing anything. He just kind of looks at it, doesn't he? And does a, that kind of thing.
Does that not work with you and your cat?
He just looks at me.
The cat looks at you and you do what the cat wants you to do.
That is how it works. I'm pretty sure that's how most cat owners
Yeah, there's a telepathic link, but it's the other way around. Yes. Got it. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So they have an argument, and then he agrees finally to do it her way. Mm-hmm. And her plan is to call the colonel and say, oh, this is happening. They're going to try and attack you and get the nerve gas. You should change your route.
Yeah.
But he hears the colonel and recognizes it as the voice that he heard earlier.
So he's...
And knows that the colonel is part of the criminal gang.
He's the head honcho, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Easy gig for this actor, because all his scenes, he's basically just sitting in a pool, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a good day to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to go back a little bit as well with before that, when you talk about how they had their argument, doesn't he try and use his telepathic ability on her to make her give him her gun, and it doesn't work?
Does he? I thought he just said, "Give me the gun."
He tries to do it in a mystical way, and she kind of just looks at him. Oh, so I'm guessing he does have telepathic abilities.
Oh, so we're going to see that, do you think, in future episodes where he could telepathically control people?
I think we're going to see him telepathically control animals.
But not people.
I think he's trying it on her. Maybe he's never tried it on a human.
Or maybe that's why he likes her, because she can't be controlled by his telepathic abilities.
Again, this is all stuff that we're just coming up with.
Yeah, we're making a better show.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone out there wants to revive Manimal, we're the two guys to come and talk to.
Yeah. We can do this.
Oh, yeah. So that, as you said, we get the heist, don't we? We get into the heist bit now, aren't we?
We're heading that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which appears that the plan is to break into top security by pretending to be pest control.
Yeah, it's incredibly convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah, dude, would that work? We're a high security station and someone knocks on the door and goes, oh, pest control, and you go, oh, okay.
I've seen it done in lots of things. So have you, haven't you?
The
other one is, oh, we're the phone company. You've got a problem with your phones. We need to come in and look at your phones.
That's true, yeah.
And it's always generic phone company. We're never a particular phone company because we can't say it.
Is that what they say? Hi, we're a generic phone company. Are we? We believe you've got a problem with your line.
Yeah.
What phone company? Oh, we don't like to mention it.
Oh, come in.
Yeah.
Mackenzie and Manimal follow them, don't they? But he then gives her the slip. And he changes into a hawk again and starts to fly over the top of them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the bad guys spot Mackenzie tailing and they kidnap her.
Yeah, they do.
There's got to be a kidnapping of a main character.
There has to be.
There has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Manimal's got a plan. He's going to use...
Yeah, hold on. So...
Go on.
We're in New York. Yeah. So he goes to... I assume it's supposed to be Central Park, so...
I guess so, yeah. You would know better than me, but...
All right. Which he has a key for. He has a key for all the cages. Who gave him that?
Maybe he's got a... you know, you get the key to the city. Maybe he's got the key to all the zoos.
Okay, this is a well-kept secret, but okay.
It's just as plausible as anything else, isn't it?
So he frees various animals, a lion, a tiger, an Ewok.
Oh, I'd love there to have been an Ewok.
Hey, would you? Starts playing music.
Nub nub, or whatever they call
it. Nub nub, yeah, nub nub. So he transforms into a panther again, and we get a scene of drunks,
yes,
hobos,
yes.
We see the animals go past and they pour their drinks away.
Classic, classic,
classic. We should point out, if it is Central Park Zoo, it's in Central Park. It's nowhere near any docks.
Right. Okay. Is this that thing? We've done this before, haven't we? When you talk about, you know, the geography of
logistics
New York.
Of New York and geography. Yeah. Okay. So somehow they get to the docks, where they find Brooks has been tied
That's
up.
That's right.
And Jade Green, Jordan, and his men are there because one of the fundamental mistakes head villains make is to turn up where everything's happening rather than stay where you should be in your.
They've not learned.
Very far away.
They've not learned the art of delegation. It's something that I'm very well versed in, Colin.
Really?
Oh yeah. Why do anything yourself when you can get other people to do it for you?
That's right. That's how you operate your business, right?
That's how I operate my life, Colin.
Ah, okay. So all the wild animals turn up and start taking out the criminals.
Pretty much mauling them to death, I guess, is what they're doing.
I guess so. Yeah, good job explaining that later, but doesn't seem to matter. But Drew throws tranquilizer gas. They put on masks, which knocks out Chase. But then the animals just bugger off.
Yeah, they just run off, don't they? Because he's knocked out and his telepathic link is gone.
So is New York then got like lions, tigers
running around,
roaming
the
around everywhere? Yeah. We don't hear about that.
They're still there today. The Descendants. You want to watch it next time you're down there.
Oh yeah, I don't get mauled by a tiger.
Yeah, but you could do the whole animal mind control thing. I'm sure you could.
Could I?
You're down with the beasts, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm one with the beast.
Yeah, your inner, you know, tiger. Raw, you know.
My inner tiger. Yeah. It's better than my inner posse.
You got tiger blood in you, like Charlie Sheen, you know.
That's right. I pump it in. I inject it.
Ursula and her bad guy friends decide to not kill Manimal and Mackenzie, but tie them up for some reason.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the point is, but all right.
And he comes to... behind her and instantly changes back into a panther again.
Yeah, and then, you know, bites through the ropes.
Yeah.
And she's okay with him being a panther.
Yeah, she's like, just accepts it now because she's known from the beginning anyway. You know, she figured it out
right
10 minutes into the
episode. She's like, I'll take the high deck and you take the low deck. Mm-hmm.
And they basically take out all the bad guys together. There's a nice long scream when one of them tumbles off the side of the ship.
There is, yeah.
And she kicks some ass as well in this
sequence. She does.
So that's all done and dusted. They're all caught.
Yeah, and they trap Green and Jordan in the boat. Couldn't Jordan and Green just shoot the panther and her? I mean, they've been wielding Uzis throughout the entire episode.
Maybe they've run out of bullets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, convenient, well, but okay.
He's throwing them around, so, you know, they've run out of bullets now, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, so they've caught him. I'm not sure what the evidence is at this point, but all right, we'll ignore that. So later, Brooks points out that they haven't got the colonel, but Chase says the colonel will confess. How do you know? Asks Brooks. Well, I'm good with animals. And then we cut to the colonel, who's sitting in his swimming pool, and a fin of a shark appears, and he screams. And I assume the shark attacks him. How did you get the shark in the pool? Was Chase is like, Tyrone, got a job for you. No, don't worry. It's not a snake. Also, how does he confess if he's been eaten by a shark?
Yeah, he didn't think that one through, did he?
No. Isn't that basically murder?
Pretty much. I assume that the shark was manimal.
Well, I don't know, because he says, I have a way with animals. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to be an animal. It sounds like he's controlling an animal. And then it cuts directly to a shark in a pool.
Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. With the kind of a facsimile of the Jaws music as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And we also get that scene, don't we, with that we get in all those TV shows where they say, oh, maybe we can work together in the future.
But very shortly, not for long.
Very, very shortly.
About 8 hours. 7, actually. We've done an hour.
And that is the end of the pilot episode of Manimal.
So, Paul, what did you think of Manimal?
I think this is one of the cheesiest 80s shows that we've covered in a long time. And we've done a few.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it does hit all those 80s beats. It's got a high concept. It's got the male-female mm-hmm. leads. Got a cop, you know, cop vigilante with powers. He's got a hook to fall back on as a show, you know, the changing thing. So it comes back to that question, why this didn't take off in the same way that your Knight Riders and your A-Teams did.
Right.
The leads are likable. They've got no chemistry, but they're kind of likable.
Okay.
Some of the dialogue's quite fun and the effects are pretty good for a TV show. So what happened? Mm-hmm. I mean, was it just a case of the wrong show at the wrong time? It's a very superhero type show. And if you think about a lot of the shows at the time that were really big, they were what we call hardware shows, weren't they?
Yes.
Guns, cars, explosions, stuff going on.
Right.
So do you think that's why it didn't work back then?
Possible. I think in some ways this has the problem that something like Street Talk has, which is a hardware mm-hmm. show. But with that show, there was only so much you could do with a motorcycle. With this, there's only so much you can do with a man who changes into animals, especially if because of the budget, it's the same few animals every time.
Yeah, if this had a big, massive budget, I mean, there's an unlimited amount of animals he could change into, isn't there? Realistically.
And they don't set up any backstory, really, about how he became this way or how his father became this way.
They're all two-dimensional. You don't know anything about these people at all.
Right.
Know? Yeah. Do you think, though, that this show might work better today with a few tweaks here and there? Because it is essentially a superhero show.
Yeah, and tweak being that you start with his father.
Yeah.
In
the
beginning.
And tell a complete story.
And then you learn, of how he got these powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unless the father goes, I got it from my dad.
And over he get it.
You're like, oh, all right, we need another one with the grandfather.
prequel series. Set in Victorian times. Yeah. They could.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, Jack the Ripper.
Universe. Manimal. Was he a Manimal? Universe. Maniverse. Yeah. Manilverse.
Right. Yeah, keep working, Paul. Right. Keep going.
Kind of enjoyed it. And seeing as there's only a handful of these out there, I might blitz it and watch them all.
Yeah. Didn't take that long.
But it's not a hit.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it, but not enough to say it was a hit. It's just something about it doesn't work. What about you?
I mean, like we discussed, I've never seen another pilot that doesn't explain the origins of the main character. Maybe they delve into this later episodes, I don't know. And to be honest, his ability to change into different animals, it's kind of useless. You could change his ability to being invisible and not have to rewrite the plot in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
As much as I like Melody Anderson, and I do.
I know you do.
She's not convincing as a cop, but that's mostly because it feels like the writer doesn't know what police officers do. You could have made her a journalist, and again, not changed the plot that much.
Yeah.
The effects, they're not that great.
I mean, for a TV budget, they're all right. In the 80s.
Oh, are they?
In the 80s.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I didn't feel any charisma between the two leads, and it feels very middle of the road. You know, recently I felt we've been a bit generous with handing out the hits.
We have, yeah.
So I'm slamming down the hit hammer, and I'm calling this a miss.
So we agree again?
Oh, God.
I think I...
No, I've changed my mind. Changed my mind. It's fantastic. I love it. It's a hit.
I think I kind of enjoyed it a little more than you, even though I'm saying it's...
I think so. Actually, yes, because you said you were going to watch... You're possibly going to watch more. I'm not.
Bear in mind, me saying that, it might take me a whole year to watch those 8 episodes.
Yeah. I'll die in 20 years and I'll have not seen another episode.
Wow, all right. That is definitely a miss.
Watch what happens now. I'll tell you. And I go, oh, I watched another episode of Madball. You'd be like, oh, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, that tracks. That's usually how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. Massive miss from us.
Yep.
So with that, thank you for listening. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook. And a big thank you to our Patreon supporters. But that's from me. Goodbye.
Bye.